would love to lean on. They can lean on His. I tell you, He's been so good to us, hasn't He? He's been better to each one of us than what we can imagine. But it says right here, it says, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. What a joy it is to be back in God's house this morning and to have fellowship with you. And once again, I want to apologize for not being here Wednesday evening, but I tell you, I just couldn't. If I'd have came, I'd have probably had to lay down on the floor up here or something. But I don't know what it is. I'll tell you what, it's just blood being so low, it'll tie you out. It really will. But I do thank the Lord for your prayers. We need to pray for one another. You know, we're living in a day and time that basically that's all we have is our prayers, to where we can talk to God any given time. And I'm so thankful that God is there, not just to be there just to wait on us, but I'm thankful that He's there to listen to our prayer request. And over there in Luke chapter 18 and chapter 22, one or the other, but He's speaking about Simon. But you know something, but He also tells Simon, Simon, I'm praying for you. You know, all of us today, we know the Lord's already prayed for us. And He's praying for us continually, constantly. He's praying for us. You say, well, how can it be? How can God be praying for us constantly here and be praying for someone else across the town constantly too? How could God do that overseas? Only thing I can tell you is He's God. He can do things, it speaks of the impossible things. We don't have the mind. We have a little small, finite mind. It's so small as a green pea or something like that. It's so mine that we can't even think about it. We can't even wonder about it. What He has in store for each one of us. And I'll still say, and I'll say it again, that with the people that's here this morning, there's nothing impossible for God. And if we would just turn loose, like it says over in Mark, about the man that went about going around in the graveyard, cutting himself and everything. God was there with him also. God's been with so many people down through the years. He's been with people that's even today, and they don't realize it. He's walking with them. He's talking to them each and every day. He gives them strength. He gives them eyesight. He gives them the mind. He gives them the ears to hear, the voice to speak,
and defeat the wall. But yet, they'll turn right around and curse God. But they don't curse God, and like Job's wife did, says, "Curse God, die, Job." I'm gonna say this that I actually had seen this. This was before I got saved. Maybe two or three years before I got saved. But it was me and a friend of mine. We was down there on Bugs Island Lake. We was down there fishing in a tournament that they had down there. And we'd come back in that afternoon. We all had to be back at the dock by 5 o'clock so we could weigh what we've caught for the day, weigh it in. And then the one that had the most poundage, they'd end up with $100. They'd win $100 for that day. But we was coming back in as we had pulled up and was waiting on one other boat to come in. And I would have never believed this if I hadn't seen it myself. But we was only at the dock there. And it was some other people that they was like there just fishing or doing something. I don't know what time he come in, but they're just fishing. It started raining. All of a sudden it just started raining. Started thundering and started lightning, and then here come the last boat in. He come in, he pulled his boat up on the dock. Up on the shore and everything. And after he got up out, the rain really come down. We didn't even have time to even weigh in. We had to come on back to Danville. But before we left, we heard a great big old thunderstorm come up, and it was lightning all around us. And we turned and we looked to see if that fisherman was still like that in the water, if he was going to come in. He didn't come in. He was by himself now. And he stood up in the boat, in the middle of the boat. And he lifted his hand toward heaven. He said, "God, strike me. Because I don't believe in you." And just as soon as he got it out of his mouth, it come down, struck him, he fell straight over in the boat. One of the other fishermen that we had there went out there and got the boat, and somebody else called the police and the life-saving crew. You don't tempt God. You don't test God on anything. God tests us. He tests our faith. But in saying all of that, I just want to thank you that if it wasn't for you, I don't know what I'd be doing today. I really don't, but I do thank you for your prayers. Y'all continue praying for me. I'm gonna have to go back to the doctor soon, I think. I'm gonna have to go back soon, and I think I want to go back, but he's gonna have to do something. But if you will, turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians. And while you are turning, there's one verse of scripture that I want to read. You don't have to turn now. But there's one verse of scripture that I want to read out of the Old Testament. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 9 there. It says, "For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be to you, be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering whatever cease seeing your walk of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were assembled to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word. Is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this beautiful day, Father, that you have created, and Father, that you have planned for your believers to be able to worship and praise you in. Father, yes, some people may say it maybe looks like a dreary day, but there's no day that you have ever made that is dreary. And Father, because the rain that we are ceasing is the rain that we are in dire need of. If we was not in dire need of it, Father, you would not have sent the rain. But Father, even the rain reminds me that every drop that comes from heaven is one of thy blessings. And Father, that reminds us of all the many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon each one of us. And God, I pray today that you may help me, Father, to bring about this message, Father. Father, that where it will not just benefit me, but Father, that it would benefit the people. And Father, would draw them closer to you. Father, because one day that you are coming back. And Father, we need to be ready for that time. But until that time comes, Father, we need to be ready at all times to go and give out the gospel to the whosoever will. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Right here in verse 10, in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven. I know there's not an individual that's not in here today that would not love to see the return of the Lord to come back at any moment. I'd love for that. I'd love for him to come back any moment. I really would. But the reason he hasn't come back is because we have still got a job to do. And that job is none other than the job that he's given each one of us, that we must go out and spread the gospel. Tell it whosoever will about the love of God. Not only about the love of God, but about the salvation that he gives, and he gives it so freely. That he gave his life free. No one took his life, but he gave his life for the whosoever will. But I want to look at that word wait. And to wait for what? For his son from heaven. I've titled the message is this way. Waiting while we're waiting for the great, great homecoming. Or while we're waiting to get excited for him, while we're waiting until someone that will not only come to the house of God, but we're waiting on someone to bring someone to the house of God and that they may come forward. And that individual may give their heart and their life to Jesus. That's what we're waiting for. The reason the Lord has not come back is because he has one particular soul out there that needs to be saved. We know not who it is, but he does. That's the reason he has not revealed it to us. That is the reason that God has not revealed it to his son Jesus Christ on the day or the hour that he comes back. He does not know that day. He does not know the time. He does not know the hour. Only God the Father knows that particular time. Only God the Father knows a particular day and hour. And when that individual comes and gets saved, we don't know. We maybe go out, we could go out this week and we could tell people, we could go out here and be a witness for the Lord, and we could go out and witness to people. And yes, invite them to the house of God. If we cannot win them on the outside of the house of God, then we must bring them in. The Word of God says we must compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. And that word compel is not to go out here and drag them in. I believe that word compel them to come in is that we must also have prayed to God. That God allows us to go and visit the ones that he wants each one of us to visit. Now, I've said this before. I think Dan Hill, and I believe it's said one time, it's known, can be said again and again and again. But I believe within my heart and my soul that if God the Father puts an individual on my heart and on my mind, how little my mind is. I'm not supposed to go to no one else and ask someone else to go and visit them. I'm supposed to go and visit them with somebody else with me. And we should not go out, never go out by yourself. I will not go and visit anyone by myself. Because I think that's the reason a whole lot of preachers today has failed, is because they have put the trust in people. They have trusted people so much today that they go out and they will visit them. I mean, I've known even they would go out and they would visit the members of the church. But yet the members would turn their back on them and start telling things about them. That's one reason I will not go and visit anyone by myself. I'll always either ask Brother Bill to go or my wife to go with me. And that's the way it should be. Because he says, it's plain in his word, that he gives us that. He said we must go out two by two. And if you just take that two by two, what he's telling us is, the reason he wants us to go to two by two is so we'll stay out of trouble. Today, the time and day that we're living in today, there's more trouble, there's more wickedness than there has ever been. But while we're waiting for the homecoming, that great homecoming, the great revival, when we can go home, when we can see our loved ones that's gone on before us, when we go home and see our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's what homecoming is going to be all about. It's not going to be about the homecoming and sitting down at the table and partaking of a meal. That's not what the homecoming means. The homecoming is when we're going to stand and when we're going to be able to bow at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet and be able to lay our crowns down. There's mentioned five crowns in the Bible. Five rewards that we're going to receive as Christians. Some is going to receive them all. Some's not. Some's going to receive just two or three. But we need to strive to receive them all. We need to strive on that aspect that we want to have all the crowns. We want to have more than five rewards. We want to have more than what crowns we have. We want to have much, much more than that, where we can be able to stay and just lay them at his feet. And lay them at his feet. Because once we get there, we're not going to want to get up and just leave him and go and meet a mother and a father or brothers and a sisters or grandparents. We're going to want to stay there. Thank God for that. We're going to want to stay there. But while we're waiting, we must lean on Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other man under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's amazing how many different things people are seeking to lean on. Some people is leaning on the job security. Some people are leaning on the automobile. Some people are leaning on the boat that they have. Some people are leaning on the home that they have. Some's leaning on the financial means that they have in the bank, and the financial means of the stock market and everything. Well, we know all of that stuff is just material thing because it showed us in the past before, because the stock market's crashed before. Today, people is not secure today in the jobs like it used to be at one time. At one time, an individual could go to college and they could get a degree or whatever, and they could come back out and they could go and get them a job. But it's not so anymore. It's not so. They'll just go to college. Why? They'll go to college now, and I believe a whole lot of it is just to be up out of where they can just go for 4 or 5 or 6 years or whatever and get some type of degree. But it doesn't make no difference if you have a degree anymore or not and getting a job, because if you get a job today, even coming out of college with a 5-year college degree or 4 years or whatever, to get a job today, you're going to have to settle down to the lowest paid job. That reminds me of, you go back in the book of Matthew where he says that Jesus went out and hired men to labor for that day. Hired them that day, and they'd meet that morning, they'd go out that day and they'd labor all day long until 5 o'clock, I reckon. I don't know what time it was. From sun up to sundown, they'd labor all day. For a penny a day. But yet then, he would go by and see somebody else that would, maybe around lunchtime, and he would see somebody else that was in need of some change, need of some money, for where they could be able to go about buying some food. Says, "You got anything for me to do?" They say, "Yeah. Come on with me." They take them to the field and everything. And they said, "Now, you work from now into sunset, and you'll receive the same amount as the others has received." See, God is no respecter of person. God is the same to you and to me and to them. And He never changes. God never changes. And He will never change His plan of salvation. He has never changed it. He's never changed the Word of God. Oh, yes, we change it. We want to change it. Why do we want to change it? We want to change it to satisfy the flesh. To satisfy the flesh. That's the reason we want to change. That's the reason that you have all these theologians today that I hear rewriting the Bible and everything. They got all... I mean, last time I heard, it was over 3,000 translations. And I know some of them is in the foreign translation, but so many of them are not. Even, I mean, I got a piece of software at the house. And I like the software, I really do. And it has a list of all the Bibles for the English-speaking individual. And I haven't counted them, but I believe it's over 100. The Bible that they list for translation, got the Standard Version, got the NIV, got the Living Version, got the New King James Version, got the New This and the New That and the New This. And I'm going to tell you what you can depend on. You can depend on the old King James. The old King James Bible. Now, here's somebody, here the other Christmas, give me an authorized 1611 King James Bible for Christmas. It has 66 books, plus it's got two of the other books, got Maccabees and all some of the others and everything in there. And I started out, I said, I'm going to start reading it. I got over in the book of John, and I started reading it. I said, man, I says, I don't know about this. Which I know is in 1611. Yes, some words has been changed. But it's been changed for the English-speaking people. Like the word show. S-O-S-H-O-W. In that book, it's S-H-E-W. Shew. Means the same thing. But we must lean on Jesus for these things. We need to serve the Lord with trust. There's not but one way to serve Him. That's with trust. If we don't trust Him, and if we don't love Him, we can't serve Him. You can't serve Him if you don't trust Him. Do you think honestly that as far as Brother Bill being a deacon, if I could not trust Brother Bill, why should he be a deacon? If you can't trust Brother Bill, why should he be a deacon? If you can't trust me, why should I be your pastor? We must have a trust that where people can see in us. And if you love God, and if I love God like we say we do, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust God. Because see, now there's no other way to, and there's no other way but trust. While we're waiting, we must long for the revival. You know, we just had revival. 5 days, 1 week. 2 days the following. I don't believe that no one here that came to any of it, or if you didn't make it every night, or if you didn't make it in now, that you have not heard about the revival. Now, I've been saved now going on 35 years. And I've been in a whole lot of revivals. But I have not experienced a revival like we had that week. I mean, no, we didn't have a packed out house. But I'll tell you one thing. The people that knew it, that was having revival, they missed a God-brought revival. They missed it. Because the people even Brother James is still talking about the revival. Matter of fact, this morning, after he gets through preaching, he's gonna have a baptismal service. He's gonna baptize a young lady. I know she ain't but 11 years old, 11 or 12 years old, but in my eyes and everything, she's a young lady. Even right back here, sitting right next door, next to Sister Kelly back there, she is not a girl. She is not a young child. She is a young lady. And as a young man back there too, we need to respect them and who they are. Brother James says he has seen something in her life that he hadn't seen before. She's so excited. She went to her grandma about 2 weeks ago. She says, "Grandma, who do I need to see to get so I can be baptized? Who do I need to see?" She says, "Do I need to see Brother Donnie since it was at his church, or do I see, or who do I see?" She says, "No, you don't have to see him. You can be baptized right here." She got the real thing. She has got the real thing. And we and Brother James went about and bought a brand new Bible. It's a study Bible. Didn't get in a little small Bible that, you know, where you can just read the Bible. But it's a Bible where it got study notes in it too. A Scofield Bible. I think it's what he got her. And I know she's going to be tickled to death. She's going to be excited because she has not only been saved, but she's been baptized into the family of God. And plus she has the Word of God that she can read that somebody give her. To give her a gift. We experienced a true revival, and we can. And I know that each one of you can really reminisce and go back and talk about the revival. What a great time it's been. Now, Brother Paul called me about 2 days later, It was on Thursday. Thursday evening. Brother Paul called me, and he said, "I just want to call and see how you're doing, see how the people, see how the church is doing." I said, "Brother," I says, "we're doing great." I said, we may not be big in number, but it reminds me of the words, little is much when God is in. Yes, we may be a little in number, but with God, we have a full house. With God, we have a full house. Yes, it doesn't mean that we should not continue on having revival in our soul. We must continue to have revival in our soul. We must continue to invite people. We must continue on. And I've said it before and I'll tell you again. Something's going to break loose, and when it breaks loose, my prayer is that you'll be here when it happens. My prayer is that not only will you be here, but some of the other people that just come a time and then, that they'll be here also. Because when it happens, it's going to happen. And you won't ever be able to experience it again. Just like I saw someone, a preacher friend, and he says, "You know, I was aiming to come to revival, but it just slipped my mind." I He said, "You have a good one." I said, "Yes, sir, we did." I believe we had old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. I believe people got revived. I believe the other people that got here, that came, got revival and had revival. And while we're the last one, we see that right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." While waiting for the rapture or the catching away, while waiting for that last soul to come in. And yes, we make it, God, we may visit and we make it. Maybe we might have 5 or 6 or maybe 7, 8 people come in, maybe one service. And they all come in, they come down. And yes, and every last one of them, they give their heart and their life to Jesus right there. They saved and everything. But just think about this though, the one that you went out and visited could be the one come to this altar and cry to God, "Yes, God, I believe in what your Son done. I'm a sinner. I've tried everything myself. I still feel empty. These people, they've come and they've visited me and everything. I want to have what they got. I want to have the joy. I want to have the smile. I don't want to have the anger that is on my face all the time. I want you to say it, so. Lord Jesus, would you please save them." Then after the Lord saves them, then they come and then they go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I know you just saved me, but now I want you to be the Lord of my life." Just think about it. Sister Donna, that could be somebody you brought in. They come forth like, after they got saved, stashed away, we're going home. Brother Bill, it could be you. You bring somebody that gets saved. After they get saved, right there, we're going home. We don't know who it is. God's kept it to himself. It could be right in this community. It could be overseas. We don't know where it's at. That's the reason we must go. We must tell people that yes, that we're looking for that great, great, great homecoming. And like I said, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, we had homecoming. Here to church, what did we do? We had services up here, then we went down there, went back into fellowship hall, and we ate lunch. Then we'll come back over here after lunch and we're singing. Now we call that homecoming. I think it should be just a time of just fellowship. That's what we're doing. Just a time of fellowship. Because the homecoming that I'm looking for and the homecoming that you're looking for is not that kind of homecoming. I know we're gonna be eating at the supper table.
What's that song? Supper Time? Does anybody know that song? You know it, Sister Nancy? I'd like for you, if you don't mind. Would you come up here? We got time.
We got to find it.
All right. If you got it with you, that I would love to.
Find it. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we do thank you for what you are doing. And Lord, we're just waiting for thee to, Father, give us some names to go and visit. And as we go visit, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you have put it upon their heart to make an effort to come and visit with us, Father. And Father, we just pray, Lord Jesus, for the people that's not saved, Father, that give their heart and their life to Jesus. And Lord, we just want to thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray.
I haven't found one of those yet.
I think I found one near the piano.
Is there one over there?
That's okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You just have it to read tonight.
Okay.
All right. Everyone stay.